ladies and gentlemen, we stalk a dark planet. We search for light, but it is darkness we delight in. We are creatures of paradox, and it is mystery that draws us. Behind the known fact, we search out the unknown. We will not rest until we are home.
Good afternoon.
Yes.
Desultory scene.
Is it?
The doldrums in the ABC, unmistakable.
Then go on.
Dried stains on a saucer says it all.
Does it?
Yes. Even if I hadn't found you stirring a cold inch of tea in the bottom of your cup.
I was waiting for you.
You say that.
The skeptic note.
It all adds up, that's all I'm saying.
Life as arithmetic, how reassuring. And your diagnosis?
You are suffering from ennui.
Isn't that something that only affects Frenchmen?
Which means...
I know what it means.
Boredom is a serious ailment.
Yeah, of course. And a cure?
Life...
Yes, Polly?
...is an ocean. We should not be surprised if from time to time our little boats are becalmed.
And your cure?
But you sit here...
I know I do.
...day after day...
Everybody has to sit somewhere.
With the same corner seat in the same cafe on the Strand.
I like it here.
You need to get out more.
What?
You need to...
I heard. I just didn't like what I heard.
Fresh air.
Oh, I was afraid of this.
What?
Altruists take no prisoners.
It's spring.
It's February.
I can feel spring. You know what you need?
I know I fear what you're going to say next.
You need a trip to the seaside. Outside the window. That's the world, that is.
I've seen it.
Those cows and those fields, look. Oh, that hill. Look at that tree, isn't it? Oh, isn't it extraordinary?
Not for me, no.
What?
Are you perfectly well?
And look at that cottage.
Oh. Does that arouse your affection, Polly, that dwelling?
Yes. You see how much we miss staying in London?
I am surprised.
Why?
I've always thought of you as a city girl.
Oh, no. Trees, hay, animals, I love it all.
Good. And the sea?
What?
You view the sea with equal enthusiasm?
The sea?
Hmm.
Oh, no.
Then why are you taking me to Brighton?
Oh, the sea! Oh, yes! Waves, splashing, more waves, more splashing, lovely. What?
Interesting. Holly?
Yes?
Do you think it's possible to stockpile fresh air?
You mean...
At the risk of earning your disapprobation...
Yes?
Haven't we had enough?
We've only just got here.
But do you like this? Do you honestly like it?
What?
This gale.
All right, where do you want to go?
I think I just saw over there...
What?
...the inviting lights of an ABC. Well, of course, only if you're, sure...
I'm freezing.
Ah.
Oh.
It's not bad.
You approve?
Yes. There's nothing like the comforting surround of teak veneer. Why, Polly, we could almost be at home.
The fact that it's the Esplanade out there rather than the Strand...
...is of no significance. That's right. It's in here, inside...
Yes.
...where the true operations of life may be conducted, isn't it?
Yes.
So then...
What?
Why have you brought me here?
Elizabeth Morton.
Gone?
I met her in America.
Your San Francisco days, was it?
Yes. She was... Well, the thing about the Americans is that you may find yourself mixing with a wider range of people than in England. I mean... It wouldn't be true to say that there's no class system there. I mean, what would be the point of being rich if there were no poor to look down on and despise and patronise? Of course, all that goes on. It's just that it's possible to meet a wider variety.
She's rich.
very, very rich. Mm. Rich in a way the English haven't been for years. If money was a virtue, Elizabeth Morton would be an angel.
So, in this egalitarian world...
We became friends, yes. Mm. Only her name wasn't Morton then, of course. That was before she met him.
A letter. For you.
I thought you were late.
I am, yes, I am. Aren't you going to open it?
Now, why would I open a letter from my lover in front of you?
Would you?
No.
Wouldn't you?
That would be a little overindulgent. I mean, I like to live dangerously, but...
Okay. Typed address.
Very neat.
For anonymity.
I like it.
What?
You jealous.
You like it?
It makes me purr.
Oh, I'm going.
Go on, then. Leave me alone with my lover. Well, what are you waiting for?
I believe it's customary to kiss your husband goodbye.
Do you?
I believe it is.
Not where I come from.
Well, you're in my country now.
You're going to be late. And Mr. Peabody will not be pleased.
I don't care very much.
But his jowls will inflate when he sees you. Morton, he'll stutter with a, Hieronymus Bosch, have you been?
Oh, open the damn letter.
And what was it?
Apparently, it was a letter from a man.
I see.
Do you?
Well, her past, I take it.
Of which we all have some, at least.
Well, I'm not casting stones, Polly. I'm assuming you're coming to the point.
As I said to you, Americans seem very friendly and open at first.
And you thought you knew her?
Yes. I saw her, 3 times a week for 9 months.
Huh?
I met her parents, I met her brother, I met her grandmother. We talked about everything. And then, quite by chance, I found out she was married. My girlfriend was married and hadn't told me.
And her husband's name?
Le Comte Armand de la Tremouille.
Sounds like something you might pop on your tongue with a glass of masala.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What?
You haven't eaten, are you hungry?
No,
I'll get you something. What,
I'll tell you what I'd like. One of those slivers of pastry, I believe they're called Lent de Chat. They taste of almonds, you see. It was the name, you see, that reminded me.
Oh, right. Is that all?
And a cup of tea. I'm feeling better already, Polly. Must be all this fresh air.
Well, while I'm away, read this.
My dearest Elizabeth, what centuries since we met. I may only beg your forgiveness. You must think badly of me. I know you do. A husband who suddenly disappears without a word. You must hate me. Can you believe I still love you? I will explain all, though whether my story excuses me, only you may decide. I understand that in my absence you have... married again. I was deeply shocked about this, though perhaps without right. You assumed that I was dead. I am not. And now I reclaim you, my life, my love, and in law, still my wife.
At first, he didn't ask for any money.
Ah.
Is that nice?
Thank you. Now, I want to ask you, how did you come by this letter?
She gave it to me.
Gave or sent?
In fact...
She's here?
Yes.
In Brighton?
Yes. She contacted me.
So this excursion...
Yes.
...was not so much a concern for my health.
She's in trouble. I wanted you to meet her.
Did you?
Do you mind?
Do we have to move?
No. She's coming here.
And how does she know we're here? Ah, I see. You calculated after a long journey...
What?
...finding myself in the fresh air...
Well, no.
...that I would seek the nearest... ...that I would be bound to seek the nearest...
ABC. Yes. I'm sorry.
And when is she due?
3:00. Could I get you another, long de chat?
This is bad.
Show me.
I knew he would ask for money...
You said... Am I going to sound naive?
What?
It's only £50.
Armand was a man who never required much encouragement.
What does that mean?
He'll come back for more. This is just a testing the water.
You think we shouldn't pay?
I don't know.
Well, pay or don't pay.
What do you mean?
Well, I feel we don't want to be indecisive. I mean, is that not an encouragement?
I can't think. Think for me.
I know a man.
What do you mean?
He might help.
Help us? How?
You're saying your husband, your first husband, that we'll never be free of him? He was a memory.
Barely that, believe me.
Then forget him.
Francis, I don't know what you mean.
Like a memory, like a bad memory, we have the right to erase him. Don't we?
And then she contacted you.
Yes.
What did she want exactly?
Her husband. She told me her husband had got himself into deep water.
And what is she expecting you to do?
I am her friend.
I see.
And she knows about you.
Ah.
Well, of course, I told her. Are you annoyed?
No.
She said, could we speak to him, to her husband, to dissuade him from... She's very anxious, you see.
Now, let's get our thoughts in order. A wealthy young American woman marries a French adventurer. He disappears soon afterwards. She assumes he's dead.
Just after he left, he telegrammed her to say he was sailing on a ship, the SS Argentina. A few days later, it was in the papers, the ship had gone down. No one survived.
She assumed she was a widow.
Yes.
She comes to England, she remarries. A man named Francis Morton, who, what does he do?
He's a merchant banker.
And then she begins to receive letters from her first husband. At first, he asks her to return to him, but soon he's asking for money to keep quiet. How does her second husband react?
He's younger than her.
Yes.
I mean, clearly this is a factor.
In?
He's anxious. He's protective.
Yes, yes.
He suggests hiring a man to kill Armand.
And she agrees?
She was opposed to it, but what could she say?
He insists.
Yes.
And now she wants you to speak to him.
Yes.
Do you know him? Have you met him?
She knows nobody else. Why do I have to argue this? I don't know why I have to. If you don't wish to be involved...
Oh, no. This is very interesting.
I would have thought to help an old friend...
Yes, quite. She's lucky to have you, Polly.
He's coming.
Francis.
I tell you, he's coming here.
I didn't want this.
Nobody wanted it.
I'd like to know if there's some other solution.
Go ahead, think of one.
Did you want to do this?
What? No, listen, he's coming.
It's been sharp to you.
I'll tell you what, Armand has invaded our lives. Our happy little lives, as though somebody had us by the throat. Now you tell me an answer to that does not involve his forcible removal. You and the money, that's when he'll stop. Will I fight to keep what I have? Oh, yes. He's coming.
Who is it?
That's my man, Skinner. Hey, Skinner! I said we'd meet alone. I wanted her to see you. Elizabeth, this is Mr. Skinner. And the money? I told you. My price, what we agreed. You have it? That's all of it. I'm telling you.
I'll count it if you don't mind. Yeah, it's there.
When will we hear?
When you need to know.
Wait! I think I need some reassurance. I don't think that's unreasonable.
Read the papers.
You'll what?
Keep your eye on the papers. The next week, you won't need any reassurance.
You'll do the job.
Francis.
You'll do the job.
Mrs. Elizabeth Morton.
How do you do?
Oh, how do you do?
Sit down, Elizabeth.
I'm very grateful for your time.
I wouldn't be.
Tea?
Coffee, please.
And something to eat?
Give me a doughnut.
Elizabeth?
Nothing.
Well, I'll leave you together.
You are not as you are billed.
I don't understand, Mrs. Morton.
I was given to understand your character note was eccentricity. You don't look eccentric to me.
Oh, I am.
Are you?
I catch trains to Brighton in February. Can you think of anything more eccentric?
I'm very grateful you've come. I'll certainly reimburse you.
I don't want money, Mrs. Morton.
I didn't mean to insult you.
I'm not insulted. And your character note, by the way, was secretive.
I'm certainly not that.
When you first met Polly, you didn't tell her you were married. Why was that?
Nobody knew.
Your family?
Nobody. My father would have... He probably would have thrown me out there and then.
Why?
My father is in pork. He came up through the stockyards in Chicago. He bought a house on Lakeview Drive and sent his daughters to finishing school in Europe. He felt we owed him a decent marriage. His instinct in that regard was as sharp as Henry VIII.
And so the European count...
Oh, he wouldn't have minded the aristocracy, but he'd have had a stroke at Armand's bank balance. In Chicago, we prize bucks above pedigree.
May I ask, why did you marry the count?
Why? Well...
Why go to such lengths? Such a strain, wasn't it? The secret license, the nighttime liaisons.
My father had me trained to be a ninny.
Yes, I see that.
I could speak three European languages. I had my culture off pat. But what had I done?
You must have known you were laying yourself open to blackmail.
I found that danger gave me an appetite for life. It was an appetite that had never been whetted in any art gallery or museum. But the bum ran out on me. I mean, I knew he would. I was just surprised at how soon.
And then you heard he had drowned.
The ship he was on, that he told me he was on, sank. I assumed...
Ah, yes.
And I heard nothing. I came to England.
Why?
Yes, why?
Why not stay at home in the bosom of your family?
My family was never a bosom. It may have corresponded to an entirely different part of the anatomy, but bosom, no.
Are you having a nice talk?
Very nice.
So, now, can I...
Well, when did your father find out about your marriage to Armand?
Soon after I heard he was dead. He found a letter.
I told you that.
Yes, yes.
Elizabeth...
I came to England.
You fled your father's wrath.
If you like.
You must have thought your adventuring was over.
I don't think that was the point. Elizabeth was desperate, and now...
Until I met Francis, you could say I was a ship lost in the fog.
You see?
Last night, I had a dream. My husband, Francis, was in a deep and dangerous sea. I was on a small boat. I called to him, swim. I shouted, swim. But he couldn't hear. The sound of the waves, you see, and the wind. He loves me. And, trying to protect me, he's entered a dangerous sea. He needs your help.
Well... It's going to be more difficult.
How?
I said difficult. I don't understand. Well, this character, he's moving around, isn't he?
I said he's in Brighton.
That's what I thought.
You told me.
I know what I told you.
Well, then.
Don't say well, then, to me.
Mr. Skinner, I have given you money, haven't I?
I said don't talk like that to me.
What is the problem?
It's going to cost me.
What? How is that?
Because of this difficult thing.
So I have to pay more.
It's become more difficult, I said.
You can forget it then.
Oh, can I? I thought you needed me.
Give me my money back.
What did you say?
I don't like what I'm buying.
You're asking for your money back.
That's right.
Well, you can't have it.
Look, Mr.
Now you look, okay? I took the money to help you out. Well, now it's gone. If you want the job done, it's going to cost more. That much is obvious.
I want my money back.
Go back to your wife. Go back to your little wife. Tell her. This man is still on the loose. Tell her that.
I've got to think.
I haven't got forever.
Meet me here.
When?
Tomorrow?
Same time? I can come.
I'll have it for you.
Don't worry. I'm your man.
You were very brusque with her.
Was I?
Oh, I think if a person is suffering, the last thing they need is an interrogation.
The facts, Polly...
are clear. This is not a mystery. You didn't like her, did you?
It doesn't enter into it.
I think it does.
We need Polly to distinguish fact from illusion.
It is perfectly clear.
Is it?
Yes.
Is that the problem?
Polly...
Is that what the matter is? You are away from home, you are uncomfortable, and you are seeking the reassurance of familiar territory by asking questions that don't need answering. Sorry to be dull, but there is no mystery here.
Very well.
I'm sorry to say this, but I intend to meet her husband, with or without you.
Francis.
It's over.
What do you mean?
Skinner has... He's done it.
What? What has he done?
Elizabeth, he's killed Armand. We're free.
Now wait.
I'm telling you.
Where have you been?
First he told me he couldn't find him, but Armand must have come back. Then Skinner came here. He said he wanted to show me something.
What?
To some wasteland. You don't need to know.
Francis, tell me, please.
I went with him. It was pitch black, except for Skinner's lamp. I didn't know such places existed. The whole world's broken furniture, glass shards, pools of oil, rats scurrying. We turned the corner of a broken wall, and he stopped. He pointed to a small bonfire.
What was it?
Elizabeth.
Armand. Was it Armand?
I walked over to it. It was all ashes, except... Elizabeth, I saw the bones.
Oh.
Skinner was smiling. He said we would never be troubled with Armand again. Elizabeth, what have I done?
What is it? Sit down.
Where is your friend?
I don't know. He went for a walk.
Is something the matter?
No. I want to help you.
I see.
What?
Your friend doesn't want to.
I want to. Where can I meet your husband? What is it?
Too late. We're too late.
What's happened? Shall I get some tea?
Don't leave me.
So?
I went home.
What's happened?
Oh, God. Polly. Polly.
Wait.
Was it my fault?
Tell me.
The man my husband hired has done his work.
Sorry.
Did I imply?
What do you mean, Elizabeth?
Was it my fault? I cannot help but think it was me.
No.
Did I do everything to stop him?
It sounds as though he made up his own mind. You tried to talk him out of it. You came here. You asked me to help.
I know. What can I do, Polly?
If you do nothing, you're an accessory.
What?
I'm telling you the facts, Elizabeth.
You're saying I should turn him in? Is that what you're saying?
Not... No, but...
Betray him? Betray him? He is everything to me. I've changed so much in his care. When my father found out that I had been married to Armand, I was relieved. I was already grieving. I believed that Armand was dead. I was distraught. And yet all the time had to pretend that nothing had happened. I nearly went insane. The illusion of normality, the tennis matches, the young men I was to see. Well, inside...
How terrible for you.
You understand, Polly. You are my friend. It was terrible. You see, I loved Armand. I thought I loved him. I was 18.
Yes.
He was so alive, so romantic. So different from everything I'd known. He said that life need not be this way, that freedom could be tasted and lived. And because of all that, I fell. And then the news came. Breakfast. My father reading the Chicago Tribune. The Argentina's down, he said, and turned the page. We carried on eating. My mother tapped an egg, and an earthquake was erupting inside me.
So it was a relief when your father found out?
Yes. You are kind, Polly.
Please. What did he say to you?
My father. You remember him?
Yes.
How would you describe him?
Pugnacious.
And his attitude to me?
Oh, I couldn't say.
Polly,
Well, indifferent. He was a busy man.
The best he was hoping for was a good marriage. And whom had I chosen? A French confidence trickster who had the temerity to die before my father had the chance to give him a piece of his mind. In short, my father felt deluded. The rock-solid assumptions upon which he built his world shook somewhat. He found he could not forgive me.
So he threw you out?
Yes, that's what Daddy did.
And?
I came to Europe and discovered I had a talent for bringing out the protector in men. You look shocked, Polly.
Do I? Well, I'm sorry,
I had to live. And before me lay what? Ruin. Not only financial, you understand, Polly.
Yes.
So you see,
Francis Morton, when he came,
was a savior, yes. And the bonus? I fell in love with him. And now, he's killed for me. And I am to betray him? I can't. I'll join him in the dock.
No.
Why mustn't I?
Because you don't deserve it.
And who would ever believe that?
Elizabeth, please don't go.
Goodbye. How is the marmalade?
Elizabeth?
I didn't sleep last night.
Of course not.
Did you?
I feel elated. It's still a shock to you, but you'll see it's for the best.
I don't know.
We can start again.
Can we?
Haven't you suffered enough?
You're a very good man.
Do you want to leave Brighton?
Yes. I don't know.
Well, if you want to, we can. We're free. What?
How did I get lucky and meet you?
We'll move to London, Belgravia.
Isn't it expensive there?
Yes. Listen, I'm going up to town today. I'll call in at some of the house agents, yes?
All right. And we don't owe anything to Skinner anymore.
That's all paid.
You've been very generous to me.
Oh, aren't you worth it? Oh, trust me.
The post. Francis.
Get it.
I didn't know where you were.
Well, I'd been journeying.
Where did you stay last night?
An old friend put me up.
Someone you contacted from London?
No. I walked in.
You're being secretive.
No, not at all. Someone I haven't seen for years. How did you fare, Polly?
I stayed in a bed and breakfast.
Ah, pleasant landlady?
Not really. Small, with a dog.
And a good breakfast?
Where were you?
I perused the cakes.
What?
On the way in. The ABC Brighton stands up quite well to its sister house in the Strand.
You're hungry.
My friend and I talked through most of the night. He didn't offer food.
And now you plan merely to have a cake?
I was taken with the bread pudding, as a matter of fact. For once, someone's been generous with the cinnamon. A slab of that, Polly, and I'll be most satisfied.
And tea as well? And then you'll tell me what you've been doing.
Everything, I promise.
Ladies and gentlemen, this evening, the great Supremo will attempt an illusion never before seen in a British theater. You will appreciate that the line between illusion and reality is often narrow. You'll find that if you push against that line at a certain point, the line becomes a door, and the door opens. For this experiment, ladies and gentlemen, I require the assistance of a member of the audience.
I think you might be disappointed with the cinnamon.
Oh, no. Very nice.
Well, go on.
The great Supremo, one of a selection of names he works under, styles himself an illusionist.
And what's that?
A magician with pretensions. Standing next to him, you'll discover eggs in your inside pocket, and a washing line of coloured scarves protruding from your cuffs, you know, that sort of thing.
How jolly. You don't like it.
He's a very charming man. We met on a case that my notebooks have recorded as the Sloane Street Slaying.
I don't remember that one.
No, before your time.
Ah.
I might well have solved it a lot quicker with you. The great Supremo never had your role.
He was your assistant?
Yes, an informal arrangement, naturally, but...
I see.
As I say, he was without your particular talent.
Oh, you needn't.
But what he lacked in insight, he made up for in trickery. Sometimes illusion can be rather useful, as I think we will prove in this case.
You've been working on it?
My meeting with him was fortuitous, but I stayed with him not merely out of nostalgia. For me, as you know, Polly, the past is either useful or it's an encumbrance.
And in this case?
Let me begin with the appointment I made to meet Francis Morton.
You made?
A note arrived in your absence.
Why didn't you tell me?
I wanted you to see Elizabeth without me. She's been in?
Yes. I need to tell you.
Yes, of course, of course. But may I? I was walking. I wanted to think, Polly, about what you'd said.
I'm sorry, I
found myself by the pier. And in winter, as you know, a seaside pier is not brimming with customers. I became aware of a man watching me. He made no attempt to conceal himself.
What did he look like?
I can't be sure. He stood under a swinging lamp in a doorway. Tall, dark.
You felt threatened?
Certainly. But my instinct told me that whatever he wanted to do, he would not do here. So I moved off along the road. The sea quite close on the rocks to one side. He followed. At first keeping a distance, but gradually, very gradually, he began to close. Everything was shut. No shops. And the few lit houses I could see were away across the green. And then, in the middle of the wind and the dark, like a lit beacon, I saw the theatre, and in garish bulbs, on the cracked marquee, a name I recognised. The Great Supremo.
Ladies and gentlemen, what are we? Our bodies, we are told, are but a collection of atoms and molecules which pursue fixed orbits too small for the eye to follow. You see before you a plain box. It is, in fact, the result of many years of scientific research. My own molecular accelerator. Now, for this experiment, I will need the cooperation of a member of the audience. Sir!
You want a volunteer? Is that what you want?
You should have seen his expression when I stepped onto the stage and he recognized me.
What about the man who was following you?
Well, he'd taken a seat near me, but when I entered the box, what could he do?
How did the accelerator work? I mean, I know it's a trick.
I disappeared, Polly, from my pursuer. Magic!
Who do you think he was?
Ah, of that I'm not certain.
I'm afraid we are too late, by the way. Armand is dead.
Who told you this?
Elizabeth.
Yes.
I advised her to go to the police, but she wouldn't hear of it. She was distraught.
And is she coming back here?
In fact, yes, any minute. I told her to bring Francis with her.
And you haven't been to the police?
I wanted to speak to you first.
What would you tell them?
I'd tell them that a man has been murdered.
And Elizabeth?
She had no part in it. I tell them that.
Yes, yes, that's what you'd say.
Where are you going?
I want to make an entrance, Polly. Don't tell them you've seen me, but observe their expression when I come in.
But why?
We're nearly at the end. Our excursion is nearly over.
I can't believe it.
What is it?
It's from Skinner. He wants money. He says he wants money, Elizabeth, to keep quiet.
Now listen to me. You said we'd be free.
Wait, listen.
That's what you said to me.
How did I know Skinner himself was going
to turn us? Well, now we're nowhere. You said...
I am the one who's taken risks. I've done this for you, Elizabeth. I'm the one.
What are we going to do?
Had I imagined that we would replace one blackmailer with another?
You're surprised,
are
you?
I am surprised.
Well, I am. And the sum he wants?
£20,000.
£20,000. Francis.
Look, he's implicated in this.
What?
He's killed somebody. I mean, so therefore he won't take the risk.
Do you think we should refuse to pay?
What? No. He says, listen. I will make sure the police know about your involvement in the death of Armand. What we're doing here, we have to keep each other afloat.
What does that mean, Francis?
It means we pay him. He will go.
You don't think he'll come back?
He took his chance to gather some escape money. He won't risk this blowing up any further.
You think?
One payment.
Then I must make it clear.
It's all right.
I don't have £20,000.
No?
No. I am very sorry.
What do you mean?
I've used the money I had. You thought...
Yes.
When you leave Chicago under a cloud, you leave without inheritance. Is that a tremendous shock to you?
What? Do I look shocked?
Yes.
It's okay. I'll find it. I'll go up to town.
What can I say to you?
Nothing.
I mentioned a friend, Polly Burton.
Oh, yes.
She's expecting us.
And some companion of hers.
That's right. Since I told her.
Yes.
And then afterwards we'll leave.
That's right. You'll meet me in London.
Yes. What?
I have a feeling I can raise most of the money that Skinner's asking, but...
What?
If there is a shortfall...
Of course. That's all I have. £20.
£20? Then that's all you have.
Polly.
Oh, Elizabeth!
Polly? Polly, this is Francis.
Oh, how do you do?
I'm pleased to meet you.
Well.
Your friend isn't here?
No.
Francis has to go to London.
Oh.
When are you expecting him?
Well, to tell you the truth...
Has he... What is it, Polly? Hasn't he been back?
No.
When did you last see him?
Yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Ah.
I'm afraid I couldn't meet him yesterday.
He said...
I'm sorry, perhaps today.
If he comes.
Oh, he's coming.
He must be worried, Polly.
No, no, he's coming now.
Ah, am I late?
This is Mr. Morton.
Ah, how do you do?
How do you do?
And, Elizabeth, you know already.
Yes.
Ah. Does anybody want some tea?
It proved nothing.
Did you see her face? Polly?
Yes.
You did? You did, didn't you?
I said yes.
And?
Nothing.
Quite correct. And his?
Oh, he was perhaps a little reserved.
Exactly.
What?
A little reserved, that's all.
Yes?
Well, don't you see?
No.
I have no doubt he was amazed to see me alive.
What? You think... Francis.
Oh, but the story is much more complicated than that.
Why should Francis want to harm you?
Not him personally, the man he hired.
Skinner?
Now wait, Polly. For an illusion to work, we must mistake it for reality. Reality is the oxygen that deception breathes. And so what happens when two illusions meet?
You're saying that both of them...
Listen... A young woman is ejected from the family home by her wealthy father.
She was broken-hearted and then thrown out. She thought her husband had died.
Why did she come to England?
She drifted here. Can't you understand that?
All right. Now, let's pinpoint the deception. He didn't die.
Well, that's right, he didn't. He showed up asking for money.
Now, wait. Let us say the story of her first husband, Amon's death, was fabrication.
By whom?
By both Amon and herself.
What would be the point of it?
Well, first, because she is an illusionist by nature.
No, I don't
accept.
All
right, then. Say she and Amon were working together for money.
How?
They realize they have one piece of capital. His apparent death. It appeals to her, to her imagination. They both travel to England in search of a wealthy man.
Francis?
She marries him.
You mean she marries Francis knowing Armand is still alive?
Oh, that's not the worst of it. A little touch of bigamy in the night, please, Polly. The plan is that Armand will reappear demanding money. They estimate that her new husband, Francis, will pay up. But he doesn't. Francis tells Elizabeth that he is hiring a man to get rid of Armand forever. Incidentally, why?
Why what?
Why doesn't he pay? He's rich, isn't he? Why doesn't he pay? This is the point at which one illusion meets another.
You're saying Elizabeth went along with it, the idea of killing Armand.
I'm saying that Elizabeth suggested it.
But that would be monstrous. Why would she?
She sees an advantage in it. After all, she reasons, she now has access to all the wealth of her new husband, Francis. What need has she any longer of Armand?
So she doesn't warn him?
On the contrary, she wanted it to happen, planned for it. And when Frances describes being shown the burning corpse, she feels her future opening up nicely.
I'm sorry, I still find this atrocious, unacceptable. Your imagination is appalling.
And all I'm doing is pushing the line between illusion and reality until the line becomes a door and the door opens. Two illusionists meet. What happens?
But this is life. It's not an act.
For some, life, as you so confidently call it, is just the starting point.
I don't understand.
Now, hear me out, Polly. In seeking out and marrying Frances Morton, Elizabeth's instincts had let her down. She, the great illusionist, did not recognize an illusion when she encountered it. For Frances Morton has no money.
What?
He is no more a banker than she is. He married her for the same reason she married him, for money, which on neither side exists.
Then who was following you that night?
Well, that was Skinner, yes. Frances had given him an extra job. He must have felt I was a pair of eyes he wanted off the scene.
And the letter from Skinner demanding money?
Forged by Frances.
So at that point, he still believed she had money?
Yes. It must have been a dreadful shock for him.
And why? Why did she contact me? Why did she bother to call on my friendship?
What do you think, Polly?
She...
She wanted... She knew your nature, Polly, that you're both loyal and law-abiding.
Oh, please.
Filed you away somewhere in the dark little box of her mind under to be used later. She knew you would go to the police.
No.
Overwhelming evidence that would free her and that would convict Frances. I'm sorry, Polly. Incidentally, I doubt that Armand is dead.
What?
No. Why would Frances have wasted the money on a real killer when all he needed was someone to act the part? So he cast Skinner, who is an actor of sorts. The great Supremo recognized him when he came into the theatre. Illusion folded on illusion, like the billowing black curtains that hang at the side of a stage. Some people feed on the reality of others. And that's the truth.
Will they come back here?
They will have agreed to meet somewhere, both knowing that they will never see each other again.
Is that it?
Armand de Tranouille is still out there and will look for her, and I doubt if she'll be pleased to see him when he finds her.
Is that the last of the illusions?
Yes. Never doubt, Polly, that your goodness is real.
Shall I, get you a cup of tea, or...
No. Let's go for a walk along the beach, shall we? And then back to London.
For, ladies and gentlemen, what is truth but a pathless land through which we wander, creatures of paradox, lost children, looking for home?
In The Brighton Mystery by Michael Butt, based on a story by Baroness Auxey, Bernard Hepton was the man in the corner, and Suzanne Burden was Polly. Frances was played by Danny Webb, Elizabeth by Barbara Barnes, and Skinner by Christian Rodska. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The Tea House Detective, directed by John Taylor, is a Fiction Factory production for BBC Radio 4.